Teenagers, go with this very young lady and this old man right here. All right, if you have a Bible, we're going to look. Whoa. I got turned on. Thank you. Deuteronomy is going to be our text this morning. So why don't we stand? We'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, and we'll read it together, please. Deuteronomy 17. All right, friends, can I introduce this in a broad way? In one sense, I am a very non-political person. I don't trust politicians of either stripe in America. I've never been impressed with politicians. But when it comes to ideas, I am a dogmatist. So some people vote because, well, my grandpappy was a Republican, my pappy was a Republican, and I'm a Republican. Or, by the way, you're looking at a guy who grew up in a Democratic household. My dad was a Union Democrat. Do you understand what that means? Probably not. AFL-CIO. Got it? And that was true until Jim's first opportunity. I don't know, what was your first opportunity to vote? 68 or 72? Well, Jim's first guy he voted against, or you better voted against him, was McGovern. My dad gave up the Democratic Party after the communist McGovern ran for president, okay? So, I grew up Democratic. You say, why? Because, now this is not about Democrat and Republican. Friends, one of the ways you can tell what I hold to is real simple. I believe in law and order. I believe you obey the law. And in our country, we even have the ability to legally change the law through processes. You don't do it through backdoor deals. You don't do it through sniveling. By the way, I heard some people say you're a racist if you don't believe that Washington, D.C. should be the next state. All right, Frenchie, do you think, now I'm not going to ask you, forgive me, not going to ask you, too much thinking. Why do you think people want to make Washington, D.C. the next state? If it's a state, what kind of legal representation does a state have? Thank you. Two senators who are going to be? So I have no problem with that. We'll split the state of Illinois up into five parts. Chicago and the surrounding area will be one part, Democrats. And the other four parts will be Republican. We'll have eight new Republican senators. Let's quit playing games and lying, okay? This morning, I'm going to discuss the issue of toward a more just society. Now, friends, you live in America. And I want to say this to you. Let's not kid ourselves that things couldn't go south in America. For all of you that never listen to what I say, I'm going to challenge you. I don't even mind if you do it right now, as opposed to bounce or sleep. If you don't believe that a country can go into the sewer, you need to look online. You know, your little Google junk that you do everything else for? And look up the money from Venezuela, which is bolivares. I went to Venezuela, I think the last time was 2003. I do not remember the exchange rate. But in those days, they had one bolivares, you know, 5, 10, 20, 100. I think they had a 500. Not many people had them. Today, are you looking at me? They have billion bolivares. Billion. You say why? Because a communist took over. Excuse me, a socialist. And then another socialist took over, and they have raped and pillaged that country to where people are so impoverished that other countries are keeping Venezuelans out of their country because they're just fleeing by the tens of thousands. Oh, by the way, Venezuela should be the richest country in this hemisphere outside of this country. It actually has more minerals and special mineral type of things than any country on earth. So when I say toward a just society, I expect a Christian to work toward a more just society right here, right now. Not be a stumble down fool. So I'm going to give ideas. This is just a piece of what we're going to talk about. Chapter 17, verse 2. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Remember, Deuteronomy was written because Israel was going into the promised land. They were going to build a country. How do you build a country? Well, you have to have, look at me, law, processes, order, where things make sense. Oh, and if you don't, well, we'll get to that. Man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. Now remember, this was specific to Israel. America, much of what we started with came from the scripture, but it was not a one-to-one transfer. Our founding fathers didn't think America, I'm talking about 1776, they didn't think America was Israel. They didn't persecute you and put you, you know, kill you because you worship false gods. But the principle here is you violated the law. Got it? Well, then God establishes a process. Verse 4, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought or done in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which hath committed that wicked thing. And by the way, we wouldn't persecute anybody or prosecute anyone, excuse me, for this kind of thing, but we would for other things, or we should, except if you're in New York City. Unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. They had the death penalty. Then it says, at the mouth of two witnesses, or three witnesses, shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. So you had witnesses, evidence, people, you know, the normal things. But then he makes a very profound statement, but at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Verse 7, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people, so thou shalt put away the evil from among you. By the way, if you witnessed against someone in a death penalty case, you threw the first stone. Jesus didn't make something queued up in John. Do you understand how hard it would be to kill somebody that you knew was innocent? Only sociopaths could do something like that, psychopaths. Most people just couldn't throw that first stone if you knew the person was innocent. Got it? So guess who had to throw the first stone? The witness. Mm-hmm. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. But it doesn't stop here. If there shall arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, meaning in your local area, your local community, your local city, Jersey County Courthouse, where I'm from, there's a case that was just too hard for the Jersey County Courthouse to deal with. We in this country have levels of courts. Why? We didn't create this out of thin air. It's taught in the scripture. It assumes you're going to run into problems that a local court can't deal with. How about this? What if there's too much prejudice in a local court area? You know, there's more Smiths than there are Joneses, so the Smiths are prejudiced against the Joneses. By the way, folks, think. This is real life. He goes on to say, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, between matters of controversy within thy gates, then thou shalt arise and get thee up unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. That's going to be Jerusalem later. And thou shalt come unto the priests and the Levites and to the judge that shall be in those days and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence. meaning once a process is adjudicated, look at me, Donald Trumpites, once Donald Trump lost in every single court, he lost in every single court, case is closed. As a Christian, case is closed. See, I don't like that. I don't either. Take it up with God. He said there's a place you just got to drop stuff. Period. Thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place, which the Lord shall choose, shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that is they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand or to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest and standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and they shall put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. We're going to look at this morning and tonight. This is the introduction toward a more just society. You'll need to be here tonight or you'll need to listen online. I mean, because this is, by the way, folks, here's our problem in America. We have Christians totally ignorant of Scripture. As if this stuff doesn't exist. Worse than that, we don't know American history. So we're bumbling towards disaster. You say, Pastor, it's just, no. What you going to leave to your children and grandchildren? You say, well, the Lord's going to come. I had an uncle like that. The Lord's always going to come. So he spent the last 30 years of his life smoking dope, smoking cigarettes, and drinking beer, and playing country music. But Jesus is coming. No, I think we need to do what we need to do as much as we can. We're going to talk about that this morning. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable time as we look at ideas from Scripture. No, this is not John 3:16. This is not how to be saved. This is everyday life. Help us to hear, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. By the way, the last thing I said about levels of courts, we'll get to that tonight. In your notes, there are two verses that I find important. Because what the Lord's doing is preparing the Jewish people to have a just society. So there is a process of working towards a just society. And friends, are you a Christian? Let me just, don't raise your hand. If you are, let's start with the obvious. We don't live in the millennium. Does everyone recognize we don't live in the millennium? Which means Jesus is not ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. Everybody's got that, yes? That's the reason the title is Toward a More Just Society. Friends, we'll have a just society one day, but our job, whatever country we're in, is to work toward a more just society. So they're going to move into the land. It talks about in verse 2, within the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, meaning as you go into the land, this is the kinds of procedures and laws I want you to establish. Chapter 19, verse 2, and I could spend a lot of time with this. I think I might do it separately, but it says, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. He's talking about accidentally someone getting killed and how they dealt with that in Israel. But the point being is all of this was preparation toward a more just society. So let's begin with this. 1776. July 4th. Through the 1780s was the founding of the United States. Now, unless you know a little bit of history, which means you can't watch television every day of your life, you're going to know that in the entire Western Hemisphere, America, Mexico, right on down to the tip, within 10, 20, or 30 years, every country was free. They had their own country. How did those countries do? Revolution after revolution after revolution after revolution, murder, civil war, mayhem, to the place where you don't even recognize those countries. We have to consider, which is, I know what I'm going to say is an abomination to liberals, that something was unique about this country. And what was unique, frankly, Well, there's a lot of good things about America apart from Americans, but there were some very specific things. I want to be clear. Jim Duncan can help you with this. There is a guy named Kagan. Isn't that his name? Who's the guy that writes on all the geography? Is his name Kagan? Yeah, you can remember it like I can. I can't. You think about it. There is a guy that's written a lot of books on how geography benefits countries. And by the way, our country is blessed. One of our great blessings you can see from a map in the sky. River systems. The first thing you do when you see America is you see this Mississippi and all these rivers. You say, how does that help you? Transportation. We have unbelievable land for growing things. Now, it's a little boring. Yesterday, I drove back home from Springfield, where my sister lives, and on one side was a field that had been chiseled, black soil, and on the other side, by the way, waiting for the beans, and on the other side of the road would be corn about that high. Yes, we're pretty flat and, for most people, pretty boring. I'm kind of thankful because we're the breadbasket of this country, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, a few other states. We have a lot of advantages. We have great river systems. We have coasts that are navigable with lots of places you can have ports. We just have a lot of blessings. But friends, please look at me. Other countries have great blessings too. Why aren't they in such disarray? It's not particularly because the people here's skin tone is white. Because the same white people lived in Scotland and Ireland and England and hated each other and oppressed each other. So it isn't just whiteness that did it. Something had to be unique about the way we were organized. Jim, did you find the guy's name? Why can't I? His first name is Robert, isn't it? You'll get it. I got a lot of his books. I believe that America's beginning, look at me, and actually a long time before its beginning, Zach and Sparky can help you here. Hear me, not in 1776, but a long time before that, we were a country of laws. Actually, most of what you see in the Constitution and all of that, guys like Jefferson had already written for Virginia before we got there, or they were working on these things. Our country was started very differently and very beautifully. This country, I believe, was built on a system of laws. I think there was a definite Judeo-Christian background. I think we were built somewhat on English common law. I think we borrowed the best of the Enlightenment. And we certainly used Greco-Roman ideals to build our country also. And frankly, the founding of our country was not a founding where people wanted to get rich. George Washington was called Cincinnatus. Zach, I know you know. Anybody else know why he was called Cincinnatus? Why that was even significant? By the way, they all had Latin names. Did you know this? Cincinnatus was a Roman general that was called, way back in the BC time, he was called to defeat the enemies of Rome, and most Roman generals that defeated the enemy of Rome then became a dictator. Cincinnatus defeated the enemies of Rome, and when he got done, he went back farming. George III is reputed to have said, you know the King of England? Ask an ambassador or something to America, somebody to America, and I don't have factual, you know, I just heard this story. George III asked this person, what will George Washington do if George Washington wins the war? And the person said, he'll go back to farming. George III is reputedly then to have replied, if he goes back to farming, he'll be the greatest man in history. Because he didn't use his power for what? Money, being a dictator. By the way, George Washington actually went back to farming. After the war, he went back to farming and then was called to be the president, and he was elected twice, and at the end of two times, he went back to farming. Let me ask you a question. How long has Putin been in power? He changed the Constitution so he can be the guy in power till he dies. Yes or no? Do you not see the difference? Dictators change the law to advantage themselves. Have you listened to Biden? Change everything to advantage him. By the way, it's about power. Well, power doesn't make for a good country, friend. It makes for a terrible country. Because everybody then knows it's about power, and then sooner or later, friends, it becomes power out of the barrel of a gun. What you saw in January was an element of white stupidity that are tired of being pushed around. I'm not defending anything that happened in the Capitol with that group that invaded the Capitol building. But don't kid yourself, people are starting to recognize our country has no law, we just have power. So everything you do, every prayer you make, every vote you take must be based on something other than just power, so you have power to control things. Kaplan, Robert Kaplan. If you're interested, Robert Kaplan's written many books. Ask Jim the good one. He is borderline geographical determinist, but it's very helpful. Very helpful if you're a reader. Well, let's look in your notes. My first basic thought when you read Deuteronomy 17 is this, and this is toward a more just society. Folks, let's get this drift before we go. The children of Israel are leaving Egypt. They're going to the promised land. It doesn't say this in these words, but the principle, number one, it's in your notes, is problems are going to arise. Do you understand? There is no country that doesn't have problems. And problems are going to arise, I have the bunch of verses in your notes, because people are sinful. Our country, and I've given this thing out, the Federalist paper, the one that says, you know, if we were angels, we wouldn't need a government. But we're not angels. They get that from the Scripture. The Scripture assumes people are sinful. And may I say that that includes you. That includes me. It doesn't change who the person is. Problems are going to arise in Israel, in America. That's the nature of things. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me, David said. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. I mean, the king is confessing sin. By the way, friends, in most countries, the leadership, when's the last time Putin admitted to doing something wrong? Or Maduro, is it Maduro? I think it is, Chavez's successor in Venezuela. By the way, ask when's the last time you've ever heard somebody say, I think I made a mistake. Bible just kind of assumes that we sin, even the king of Israel, David. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Ecclesiastes says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. By the way, friends, problems will arise in any country, in any society. That's the reason we're always working toward a more just society. And let me say this, if this bores you, you work someplace too, don't you, some of you? If you work someplace, you have to understand every place works the same. Things left alone tend to corruption, power plays, they just do. There always has to be jockeying, and there's always, you know, things. You say, why? Because people are corrupt, including you and me. Now, do I think the people in this room are terribly corrupt? No, probably not. But friend, I have seen people do pretty horrible things that I never would have dreamed of. In your notes, I can say nothing more important in Sunday school than the next three or four lines. So if you hear nothing else, hear this. Look in your notes. For all revolutionary groups, the wrong people are in power. Did you hear that? For all revolutionary groups, the wrong people are in power. Next. This is the thinking. Get the right people in power, and all is good. Is this true? Yes or no? Man, if we just got the right person elected. Well, I do think there's better and worse people. But friends, this is what every Marxist group in the history of Marxism believes. The problem is the rich people are in charge, the poor people need to take over. Can I ask you a question? And I do want you to raise your hand. How many of you have read in the last 10 or 20 years Animal Farm? Here's your homework. Buy yourself a copy of Animal Farm and read it. By the way, it's, what do you call that kind of a story, an allegory? It's all about the animals taking over the farm from the humans. And if we can just get rid of those humans. Now, there's a backdrop. If you want to come and listen next year in Bible for about 2 months, I will teach Animal Farm. And we'll learn about Trotsky and Stalin, and we'll learn about the secret police. But friends, let me say this. You can read that book and you'll understand one thing. The old junk is, if I can just get rid of the Republicans, everything is good. Or if I can just get rid of the Democrats, all is good. I heard the mayor of Chicago several times blame crime in Chicago on Republicans. There hasn't been a Republican in the city of Chicago since the Great Depression era. I think that's in the 1920s. So why is she blaming on Republicans? Because it can't be her fault. Can't be the law's fault. Can't be people's fault. It's got to be somebody else. Hear me. All revolutionary groups believe this. The wrong people are in power. Get the right people in power and everything is good. That's not how a Christian or a conservative thinks. In your notes. Of course, the right people are... Thank you, Rhonda. The right people are my group of people, of course, whoever mine are. So if you're in a country where there's, like Fiji has a couple of ethnic problems there. I think it's Indians and the native Fijians. And of course, everybody knows whoever's got the power is the good, the bad guys, and those are the underdogs are the good guys. By the way, folks, every country has this. You get this in the mountain countries. Colombia has it to some degree, Peru. Oh, what's the, there's another country in there. And it's always this fight between the native indigenous people and the people that are more mestizo, more European. And one group has power, then the other group. Look up here. Do you not read? Forgive me. I'm a little upset at this church. I've been here 26 years and I still have people that don't read. How are we going to have influence? This is the reason Christianity has no influence. Folks, every place just thinks, if I get my group in power, I want to say this clearly, if we could vote every person in my group, whatever my group is, in power, I do not think that would help us a great deal. Because I heard a guy named Abraham Lincoln. I didn't actually, Frenchie heard him. I read it. I think he said something like, power corrupts and absolute power. Look in your notes. I already said, I can't say anything more important to you. Here it is. For all revolutionary groups, the wrong people are in power. Get the right people in power and all is good. The right people, of course, is my group, whoever your group is. The Bible and our founding fathers looked at it differently. They looked at having the right laws and the right processes. You see, friend, if you're a country built on laws from the bottom up and you have proper processes, then, look at me, corruption to some degree is limited. But if you have no laws, all you have is dictators, well, then you're a mess. Your name is Putin. Did you all hear what I just said? By the way, every conservative is for law and order. Do you know why? Not because we think every law has always been just. Remember, our country, you can change the Constitution. You can change laws. But friend, if you don't have laws and a proper process, you just have chaos. So I want to say this to everyone here, just to summarize. Problems are going to arise in any country. Toward a more just society recognizes that right up front. People are going to be discriminated against. People are going to be oppressed. People are going to be persecuted. Things are going to be stolen. People are going to burn things. People are going to be shot. Friends, this is just normal. This is human nature. But we don't think if you could just get my little group in power, then it would be good because we don't really believe that my group is good. And if you read the Federalist Papers, which I warn you are not easy reading because they're not comic books, you'll quickly realize they didn't trust anybody.
including themselves. All right, number two, problems that require laws and the rule of law. In order to have a more perfect union, which is our goal, you have to have some kind of laws, and those laws have to rule. And I'll say this, requires constant diligence. You have several options, and a couple of these options are, I haven't seen them in print. I'm using Latin in a way because I like the first and last options. In the 1600s, the options were the first and the last one. Rex lex, which means the king is law. In England, whatever the king said was law. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be in a country where whatever the president says is law? Let me ask you a second question. Do you want to be in a country where no matter who it is, gets up and speaks and that's the law? Friend, that's a scary business. But rex lex was the rule. Let me ask you a question. How do you do in Russia today if you oppose Putin? Have you asked that guy that opposed him that's been poisoned a time or two? I don't even know where he's at now. He got poisoned by Putin with things that only the secret police in Russia have. He flew to, was it Germany or someplace in Europe to get treated? He came back to Russia. He got arrested. You say, why did he get arrested? Does anybody know? Because he had a warrant out or some kind of a, not a warrant, what do you call it? He had to be there, be close or something, but he went to Germany to get treated. Therefore, they arrested him for going to Germany to be treated, so he lived. Look at me, friend. Rex lex is not where I want to be. Hear me. And that doesn't make any difference who it is. We don't want one man to rule or a king. Next. This is just Pastor Warren's language. Nul lex means no laws. And we do have a group in America today. I hope you actually listen and read and think, that basically says we just kind of need to do away with laws. And what we need instead is we need social workers. I no joke, Vox, I don't know who these idiots are, some left-wing lunatics, said this girl that was about to stab another girl with a knife and the blade was this long and you see it going towards her. She said if a social worker would have been there, yeah, if a social worker would have been there, the other girl would be dead and the social worker. But here, we have people that just want to change all the laws. Do you not know this? Do you listen? They just say, let's do away with the law. Here's how you deal with people that are selling cocaine. Make cocaine legal. Cocaine doesn't bother people. People don't do stupid things with cocaine, do they? That's where we're at. Well, no lex is pretty bad, no laws. All you have is chaos, power, and violence. Vulgus lex, of course, means the law of the mob. And we're pretty close to that. And I want to say this to everyone. You have to have some kind of law. So this is what you have. Please look up here. You either have a dictator that stands up and puts the hammer down, or you have a mob. Because let me say this. You can't really survive no law. So what generally happens is, what actually happens historically is you usually go back and forth. You have a dictator, rex lex, then you swing back to, you know, the mob, vulgus lex. You go back and forth. Man, I don't want mob ruling anything. Because then it's just whoever has the most guns. And that's exactly what we need in this country, correct? We need vigilante justice. Everybody gets a rifle and starts shooting people. Well, I think our founding fathers, this is Samuel Rutherford, his book, Lex Rex. Lex Rex is the opposite of Rex Lex. It's pretty easy to figure out, isn't it? The law is king. We have a law and we have processes. And friends, I am a fan of the law and processes. The greatest weakness of this country is we don't have laws that cover many things, like what's happening on the border. And if we do, look at me in the eyes. All of you conservatives, we have not followed immigration laws on the border since before Reagan's time. And I have no problem with people from Mexico, South America, Central America. It isn't about the people. We ought to have laws. We ought to have processes. May I say this? We ought, as conservatives, ought not to have people in our country that don't have anything legal. And you say, I'm going to blame it on them. They came here 30 years ago? Friends, we're either going to be a country of laws, or we're going to be a country of chaos. Guess what we are? So toward a more just society recognizes in any society you're going to have problems. Secondly, you're going to have problems that require, in my way of thinking, in our founding way of thinking, laws and a rule of law, meaning you have the laws and those laws are actually enforced. I could say a lot more, but I don't have time. Number three, problems that cannot and must not be dealt with hastily. And Jenny, I don't think the punctuation's correct. You'll have to correct me, and then I'll correct it in the notes. It's problems that cannot and must not be dealt with hastily. That is a problem. Friends, for time, turn to the back page, would you? In the USA, we used to have these beliefs. The guy you're looking at still has these beliefs. But we have the Democratic Party and the entire media, ABC, CBS, NBC, the filth on PBS, whatever it's called, National Public, whatever it is, and CNN and MSNBC and all of the liberal things, they don't really believe any of the things I'm going to list. But these sound like what our country used to be. And I want to say this, if these are applied generally to all people, we're in a better place because you have a rule of law. Things like this, no rush to judgment. Does that sound familiar to you? How about this one? His, or could be her, his day in court. Friends, we don't even want to have court anymore. We want to have the trial by certain people yelling in a megaphone. Please look at me. Just remember, other people can yell in a megaphone too. Look at me. Did you hear me? When you have people burning down areas of cities, remember, there are other people that sooner or later are going to start yelling too. That's not what I want. I want a just society where people have reasonable freedom, all of us, where everybody has his day in court. None of these are real new. These are not new with me. Innocent until proven innocent, or what? We used to believe that you were innocent until proven guilty. Well, that's long gone. How about this? Not tried in the media. You ever heard of that? So, friends, I think all of these are just processes that have been built into our country. Turn back to the previous page. I think you will see that all of these are actually right here in the text. In Deuteronomy 17, it says, if there be found any among you within thy gates. And it goes ahead and says in verse 3, they've gone and served other gods. Verse 4, and it says, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it. But you're not just to rush off to judgment. Then it gives you, which we'll get to in the next point, all of this process. Deuteronomy 19, and we don't have time. You have to read this on your own. Deuteronomy 19, the first section deals with this. What if you're out doing some work, and the head of your axe, when you're cutting wood, flies off, instead of chops, flies off and kills somebody? It's not murder. The guy died. Well, in Israel, they had a process because, well, you can't just go kill the guy because, you know, your friend or your family member died. It was an accident. So they had a process. Look at verse 16. Lest the avenger, and that sounds terrible, that is the same word as the kinsman redeemer in Ruth. It means the person within a clan or a tribe that basically executed judgment. So lest that kinsman avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, meaning, man, he's rushed to judgment, kill this person, off with his head. He even says in verse 10, and we might deal with this in a couple weeks, that the innocent blood be not shed in the land. Otherwise, just because there was an accident doesn't mean you pull the person out of the car and kill them. You know, there's got to be a process. My goodness, there has to be a process. Look back on the next page. A process as opposed to things like this. Mob. You ever heard of it? Mob justice? Now, we're not going to finish this. I cannot believe I can't finish the first page. I want everyone to look at me. I know things I say make people angry. But I have to tell the truth. And if I can't tell the truth, this is it. I'm just not going to be a pastor. I am not going to be a pastor who joins one group or the other. The Word of God is either truth or it's a lie. And let me say this. What we saw in Minneapolis with mobs basically saying, if you don't give that police officer, and by the way, police officer did some things wrong on any level. I'm not, you know, and by the way, I trust the courts. Stupid me. But saying, if you don't give us the result we want, we're going to burn and pillage, is exactly the opposite of what this country is about. That goes for January 6th in D.C. also. We don't like the outcome of the election. We think there's been cheating. And by the way, I don't know if there was cheating. There was so much chaos, and there were so many stupid rules. By the way, law changes last minute that it appears like there was cheating. But may I say this to you? I believe in a process of law for every single person. Do you? Do you? Or do you think it's okay we just have mob justice? Because remember, mobs can look differently. The liberals have never, by the way, they're going to use January 6th for the rest of our time. But that's not the point. Do you realize how much that scared those liberals? Because for the first time, look at me, since the Civil War, white people predominantly said, we're going to take the microphone. I want to say this as clear as I can. I'm against that. And the filth that happened in Minneapolis, because I actually believe in a judicial process. I want us to have a just society. And mobs never bring justice. Mobs bring chaos. Let me give you the other. You already know these. Mob justice, vigilante justice. That's what we need. Lynching. Whew. Tonight, we'll pick up on number four, which is, look at me in the eyes. The Bible recognized the Jewish people were going to start a country and they would have problems. Why are they going to have problems? Because people are sinful. The Bible then institutes what? An evidentiary process. A process. Not, you do what we tell you, we're burning it down. Oh no, we don't ever want to see that kind of thing again by anybody. Now, is this who you are? Are you with the Scripture? I am. We'll pick up here tonight. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen.